This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I said, excuse me!
Oh, there.
I have something to say!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order! They're out of order!
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
It's an inanimate fucking object.
You're an inanimate fucking object!
What are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Loser.
Listening to Place to Nation Pop's Great Debate, a spirited discussion forum covering topics in the world of movies, music, television, sports, and pop culture. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back here to our second episode. Yes, we made it to a second episode here on The Great Debate. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining us. You know, I should probably go with the old, when they launched ESPN2, we'll call this the Deuce episode. I don't want to steal from other shows, but yeah, welcome. Or if D'Amato is here, say we're dropping a deuce. Anyway, so I'm not alone here tonight. We're going to have some great topics, and I've got some great guests. First off, let me introduce him. He is the co-host of the Place to Be podcast. He is also the co-host of No Holds Barred, the co-host of the Monday Night Wars. All can be found on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. Mr. Justin Rosero. Justin, thank you for joining me tonight.
I'm going to drop a deuce over everyone here tonight with all my hot takes.
Oh, yeah. That's why we have you here.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. And the gentleman you just heard groaning in the background, He is the host, a co-host of This Week in the NFL, the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. Roger, thank you for joining us.
Hey, what's happening, Andy? Happy to be on. And I don't have anything witty right now, so
shocking.
Just leave it at that.
He gets carried by D'Amato on another show, and he's going to get carried here tonight.
You're not digging a hole and getting yelled at like Aaron and Jordan did to me on my first show. This totally caught me off guard. So I appreciate you guys for joining me tonight on this chilly night here in the Northeast in this somewhat mild winter. So for those of you who may have not heard our first episode, so basically The Great Debate here, we're going to do a couple of segments. We're going to start off with sports and then get into pop culture a little later. And we have these guys. I'm going to throw out some questions to them, and we're just going to discuss and, take it from there and have some fun, and hopefully you guys enjoy it, and we entertain you. And we get some good discussions that lead over to the Facebook page, which let me pimp that really quick. So the Great Debate Facebook page is up and running. Every day I post a new poll. It's a this or that kind of question, and all the questions that you're going to hear later on in the show. Like we're going to do a rapid fire round where these guys have not been prepped at all. They're just going to get hit with these questions. Those are all going to be on the Facebook page. And everybody else will have a chance to voice their opinion on those. So I hope you guys all join in and partake. I know, Justin, I know you come in and vote almost every day, and I really appreciate that.
Even the stupid ones.
Even fireworks don't shoot it on my ass. This is the show, folks. They're not all going to be great. Sometimes coming up with 365 debates ain't so easy. But
now that I know there's a Facebook page, Andy, I'll be on there as well for you.
Oh, great, Roger. Thank you. Yes, the great Bert and Ernie debate from earlier this week. the fries with ketchup on the side or on top. I know, Justin, you hate ketchup, but
worthless.
I know.
It's a condiment for the filthy masses.
Well, it's better than mayo, I guess, right?
Yeah, they're both down with the dregs.
Great. All right, so let's get a little started here with this some sports talk. So let's talk about expansion. I'm actually a big fan of expansion in leagues because, you know, I personally don't think it waters down the talent. I like to see more cities get active and kind of build up communities. I'm not a big fan of relocation, actually, sometimes, because I feel like that hurts communities. But if you're not supporting a team, you know, that's kind of on you. But so let's start off with the NHL, since they're getting the newest expansion team. So we just had the Las Vegas Golden Knights last year, and it's probably the most successful expansion team in the history of sports, probably, I think. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but because since they made it to the NHL Finals. So Seattle has a franchise starting in the 2020-2021 season. Justin, how come it took Seattle this long to get a franchise, do you think?
I don't know why it took them this long to get hockey and why it's been this long to get back, you know, basketball back there. And I think part of it was they were kind of refusing to do a publicly funded arena, right? That's why the Sonics left in the first place. So maybe they're just like, screw you. And then soccer really took off there big time. So maybe they just didn't feel like the gap was there anymore with soccer kind of filling that hole. But apparently they were able to wrangle a hockey team. I think they'll have an NBA team back soon enough as well. And I think it's a good fit. Hockey in the North makes a lot more sense to me. I'm not one of those people that says like there should be no teams in the South, because there are some that are successful. And I think that gets overlooked when folks just come like firing out like, oh, hockey, you know, it should North only, Canada only. But teams like Dallas, you know, has success. Tampa Bay has had a ton of success as well. So now like Phoenix obviously is going nowhere fast, or Arizona, wherever they are now. So they should probably go. You saw Atlanta came and went in a blink of an eye. I think Jack Campbell's the only Thrashers fan I've ever met. And the Florida Panthers are probably DOA as well. So I think there's a few you can take out. And to me, if I am, you know, finding new franchises, they're going into Canada, the North. Because I do think there's a lot more room there. I think you could have at least a couple more Canada, right? You know, Quebec ever going to get that team that's been rumored? You know, Winnipeg has had success since they've gotten their team back. So I do think there's places you could find. I mean, I still think Hartford could support the team. And, you know, in this area, I don't think Providence could per se, just because of the ties to the Bruins, with the P Bruins. But I think a team in Hartford would draw pretty well. They do real well with minor league baseball. I think the minor league Whalers have done pretty well there. And I think they're a city that, you know, starting to rebuild a bit. So I think an expansion Whalers team could do some work as well.
Yeah, I would be very excited. I mean, I think the Whalers expansion, I mean, minor league team, because they're a Rangers affiliate, but because we got the Sound Tigers here in Bridgeport, so we have that Rangers Islanders rivalry continued up here in Connecticut. So let's go over to the NFL. Roger, the last expansion team were the Texans, I believe, in 2002. What city do you think should get the next one?
Yeah, I mean, call me crazy. I like the idea of London, and that's actually been thrown about a little bit. I'm a guy who, you know, the more football, the better. Mm-hmm. And having that 9:30 game every Sunday, I know it would be 6:30 for people on the West Coast, but you know, get up early, it's okay. It's a great fan base out there. They always, I mean, they're always going wild. They always sell that place out for the games they do there. I like London, and we're probably going to get one, right? And I don't know. It's not really an expansion. It's more of a relocation. But Vegas is looking to be the home of the Raiders soon. I don't know exactly how I feel about that, but I like the idea of Vegas having a football team. I don't like the idea of Oakland losing that team again. When that happens, Oakland should get another team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how do you think? Now, Justin, you can chime in on this. How do you think a London franchise? How would they kind of work that out schedule wise? Do you think?
Well, I think they'd maybe have to do two teams in England, right, and maybe put them both in the same division. So then when teams go over to play them, they can play both, to stay there for the week, play both back to back. If it's only one, I think they're just looking at a lot of like three game home stretches, three game road stretches.
Exactly.
I think the team out there, whatever teams go out there, will likely have to get a bye pretty quickly after. So I'm thinking they'd probably start on the road, right? Do three on the road, come home. And then a team would go over there, starting week four is when the bye start. And then they'd probably have like three or four in a row at home. It would be a little wonky, but you know, England to like New England, England to New York isn't a brutal flight. I mean, I don't, you know, it's long, but is it much longer than?
It's not a significant difference right. to go.
Like, what's going, Seattle to you know, Tampa?
To LA, right?
No, I think it's, I've been over there. I believe it's about
6 hours.
Yeah, it's right? about five to England, six to France, I think.
Okay.
Depending on, it's faster one way, too. It's like about a half hour, 45 minutes faster going with one of the ways because of the way the current.
And how long is it from, like, Seattle to Tampa? I mean, it's probably
that's a six-hour flight.
Yeah, so.
It's the same. I mean, it's essentially. Yeah.
So if you put them on the east, you know, one of the east divisions.
The Jaguars was the big rumor.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think what you could do is move Miami. I know it kills the rivalry is the only thing you have to consider, but Miami makes more sense in the south, right? So do you move Miami to the south and put the London team in the east, and then you got Miami, Tennessee, Houston, and Indy, and then you move the other team, the London team with the Jets, Pats, and Bills.
So Justin, somehow you just made the east worse. We didn't think that was possible. There's only like two teams you could trade into the east that would make it worse. The right, Jags are one.
Yeah, realignment's a whole other episode. Yeah, I think the NFC East. Come on, there's a team in Dallas in the NFC East. I mean, I hate the fucking Cowboys.
Oh yeah, there's so much. I mean, they'll never do it because of the rivalries.
Yeah,
but the map is really kind of fucked up. Like you could say like Pittsburgh should really be in the east. You know, like it should be probably Pittsburgh.
I mean, are the Dolphins really a big rivalry with anybody anymore?
I mean, really,
kind of,
really,
kind of
right?
maybe kind of them. Like, I like that idea. I don't think moving the Dolphins out of the division bothers anybody.
I think hockey was able to do it somewhat successfully when they
baseball did it too.
Yeah. Cool. Justin, do you have an idea of where an NFL expansion team should go outside of London?
No, the London one works. Vegas would have been my other one, but they're going there now. But I'm going to say a team that gets kind of dick teased a lot with football. They've kind of been the home when teams get displaced. I think San Antonio could do it. And I think they'd have a little rivalry. You know, you could put them in there with Houston, with the Cowboys. I think they obviously are slavish to the Spurs. Like the Spurs are huge there. And they always, you know, were lobbying and in the mix. The Saints played there when they were displaced because of the hurricane. And they're always kind of on the list. So I think San Antonio could do it.
Yeah.
You think San Diego or St. Louis deserves to get a team back?
Well, St. Louis would be like the third, right?
Third or fourth. I'd put St. Louis over San Diego because I don't think St. Louis moved because of issues with support, right? I mean, the owner just wanted to go to L.A. San Diego's always kind of been up and down with their support. I know they got blacked out a lot when they were there. So San Diego's means a better location, but I think St. Louis fan base was more, you know, behind their team than San Diego was.
What about Portland, Oregon, the support franchise in one of the sports?
Yeah, baseball for me for Portland.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I have radical ideas for.
They're all Seahawks fans, right?
Well, let's go into baseball. Justin, was Portland your choice?
Yeah, Portland. I mean, this is probably crazy. I think New York could have another one. Honestly, like I think like Brooklyn or something could bring a team back and be successful. I think there's enough fans there, especially older fans. But I am a big fan of radical realignment in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should eliminate all divisions and go back to just the AL, NL. And I think they should unbalance the schedule as well. Because right now, the way things are, I'm sure they should balance the schedule. Because right now, the way things are with unbalanced, you get teams like the Yankees and Red Sox that are playing each other in other
19.
Divisions. Right? Yeah, they're playing 19 times. And you get teams like the Indians who are getting into the playoffs on the back of 83 wins or the hell again and on 86 wins because they can coast that down the stretch like they did this year because they know that there's like no competition. They're beating up on these cupcakes 19 games a year. And you can say the same in the East at times. I'm not just trying to single out those two teams. But when you get to a situation where you have a 100-win team playing a one-game play-in, to me is ludicrous. And I would have said this even if the Yankees Red Sox were flipped this year, like if it wasn't the Yankees in the wild card game, even the A's, I mean, had to play the one game. Look, I mean, you could say they were probably the third best team, you know, possibly or fourth best with Houston and that the Indians should have been the play-in. So to me, I am going no divisions. Everyone's in. Everyone plays each other the same amount of times. And you take the top six teams and basically do the football playoffs with the top two teams get a bye. the other four play a three-game series because the whole year is a three-game series, and then it goes to seven once you get down to four in each. That would be my real line of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the schedule from, like when I would go every year, to I would try to find a team I've never seen. You know, if you go a lot, and it's like, how many times do I got to go see the Orioles? How many times I got to go see the Blue Jays? There's, speaking as a Yankee fan,
I want to watch the Rays 19 times.
You know, but then, like, you know, when
Nick Vitale.
Like, I was so excited when Interleague started, and I went to the Cubs, and you know what? Me and my buddies were there, and we saw Jeter hit his first career Grand Slam. Right. You know, those are the kind of, like, oh, I've never seen the Diamondbacks before. I've never seen, the Dodgers play the Yankees at the stadium. I mean, and that also will help all the other cities. Well,
yeah, but the only thing I think if you do this realignment is you probably are going to lose Interleague, I would think. I'm not sure you can do a balanced schedule and have Interleague, because everyone's supposed to. My theory behind a balanced schedule.
The NBA does it, right?
Yeah,
it's essentially the same.
Do they play everyone the same amount?
Doesn't everybody make the playoffs in the NBA?
They don't play everybody in the whole league, like in the whole NBA, the same amount.
But do the Knicks play the Suns the same amount of times as the Bulls play the Suns? Does the East play all the East teams play the West teams the same?
I think so. I mean, it's like two or three times for
it may be tougher with the series set up, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, I guess the thing is with baseball, too, is you're not going there for just one game, right? So it has to be series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those little bullshit two-game series they do sometimes.
Yeah.
Roger, go ahead, Justin.
I mean, I'm more in favor. I mean, I agree with Justin to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really in favor of the radical realignment, probably for the rivalries. But I
still have them.
I do think an expansion of the playoffs would without the radical realignment would probably kind of cover.
Yeah.
Like I also think it's crazy that, you know, if the two best teams are in the same division, one of those teams has to play in this ridiculous wild card game. And
so
I mean,
if you keep the divisions, Roger,
the Chargers are going through the same thing right now, right? They were the second best team in the AFC and
they're on the road.
they have to go to New England after going to Baltimore because they were in this division as the Chiefs.
So I want your thought on this. So would you, because in my world, say you even keep the divisions. Like, to me, winning the division should do one thing, get you in the playoffs. It should guarantee you nothing else. It should not guarantee you home field. It should not
I believe in reseeding. Is that what you're saying?
Seeding,
but seeding by record in the playoffs.
Correct. Yes.
So you have six teams make it. And in a year like this year, if the two best teams are in the AFCs, they're the 1-2. And that's that.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So it would have been like Red Sox, Yankees, Houston, Oakland, Cleveland.
It's significantly more fair, especially in baseball, because those two great teams had to play each other more than, you know what I mean? Like, more than any of the other teams had to play them, too. So they're, like, really head and shoulders above. You know,
would you balance the schedule if you kept the divisions? Because they used to have a balanced schedule until whatever it was, 15 years ago.
I like the idea of balancing the schedule, expanding the playoffs, but keeping the divisions.
I totally agree with that. Roger, do you have a city do you think should get an baseball team? I sound like Porky Pig.
Admittedly, my finger is not on the pulse of expansion in baseball, but I don't know. How do you guys feel about baseball in Canada? Montreal should you're going to see a running theme from my comments for expansion is I tend to feel bad for fan bases that get a team ripped away from them.
I know. And the one year they were headed to the, you know, to a great record was the strike year. And back in there, was it the early 90s?
94.
Yeah. Yeah. They had the best team. That's when they had like, you know, then they have, what's his face? Randy Johnson, right? Was he still on the team?
No, he wasn't there.
Or was that Pedro?
Pedro was there. John Wetland.
Oh, God. Moises.
Guerrero. Was Vladimir Guerrero a kid at that point?
Yeah, he might have still been there. Alou was there. Not Vinny Castillo. Was Galarraga, was he there?
Andreas Galarraga, right? Galarraga. That's how you say it.
Galarraga.
Yes.
All right, I'm pulling up the 94. Not to go all Criscola on you, but... Darren Fletcher.
Shields, maybe Delino DeShields?
No, he was not there. It was Darren Fletcher, Cliff Floyd, Mike Lansing, Will Cordero, Sean Berry, Moises Alou, Marquise Grissom, Larry Walker was the other big name there. Rondell White was on the bench. And then they had Ken Hill, Jeff Facero, Pedro Martinez, Kirk Reiter. And then, Wetland was the closer. He had a big year, 50, no, how many saves did he have?
But you know, it's funny. You read that lineup.
25 saves.
You read that roster. I don't know about that. I mean, a lot of those guys left Montreal and ended up getting big money in big cities. Like Marquise Grissom was with the Dodgers, I believe. Yeah. Cliff Floyd had some really, really good years.
Yeah.
He went. Didn't he go to the Marlins? And did he go into the expansion draft, or did he sign as a free agent?
I don't believe he was expansion draft.
No, because they had already been.
He was too much into that.
Oh, okay. All right.
So they were 74-40 when the strike happened.
Yeah, and the Yankees were the best team in the AL that year.
Yeah, that was their big comeback year.
Yeah. I mean, I think personally, after
a rough road before that, you know.
After chatting with some of our Southern brethren here at Place to Be Nation, they were like, you know, I couldn't believe that Nick, Greg, and Jenny were all Braves fans. I'm like, they're like, basically, if you grew up in the South, you root for the Braves. I'm like, really? So I think like that area, like I don't even know where exactly you would put it, but that Kentucky, Tennessee, Northern Alabama, that area.
I think Charlotte's is the area you always hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a. You know, they support a football team without a problem. Louisville.
Yes, Louisville.
Which I know I'm pronouncing incorrectly for people who live there. It's Louisville. that would be another one.
Yeah, that area seems underserved in terms of mm-hmm. Pro.
I've been to the Louisville Slugger factory there. Museum. It's fantastic. Well worth the trip.
I passed by the Wiffle Ball factory. My buddy used to live down the road from it here in Shelton, Connecticut. not as much as the Louisville Slugger factory, but you know, it's like it's up there with the Pez factory, which you see signs for on 95. You walk in, it's like one room. It's like, oh gee. Anyway, our last major league we're going to talk about is the NBA. So the last expansion team was the Bobcats, and there's a rumor of a team going to Montreal. Justin, what do you think an NBA franchise should go next?
NBA in Montreal? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what the rumor is that they might go there.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'd put baseball back there before the NBA. But I mean, Toronto does really well. I mean, they are like rabid about the Raptors, like obnoxiously rabid as a fan base.
Yeah, but Vancouver couldn't support one.
Whatever. I'm all
about
for
Drake.
Yeah. I'm all about Montreal getting anything. I think they deserve something. Seattle would be my one for NBA in Vegas.
Seattle
or Vegas. Seattle. I think basketball in Vegas would be pretty hot.
Yeah, I know, Andy, you made a comment earlier, something along the lines of, you know, the area couldn't support, or the fans couldn't support. Like, that's not what happened.
No,
Seattle got fucked. I mean, pardon my language.
Well, I was talking about Vancouver, right? Was what happened with Vancouver when they moved from Vancouver to Memphis?
That's different. Different. But in the case of Seattle, I mean, it was essentially like a hostile takeover, right, by Clay Bennett. He moved the team to Oklahoma City. I think it's an absolute travesty that they don't have a team. I mean, that place, they're the best fan, like one of the best fan bases for all sports in the country, and that place was always rocking. They were a good team, and obviously the Thunder are a good team. I think it's crap if anywhere but Seattle gets the next expansion franchise.
I think Vegas will have probably almost one in each league, I think, at some point.
Easy.
You know, baseball, I don't know, because of how hot it gets there. I mean, all the games would have to be at night. Basically,
they do it in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix is hotter. Phoenix is hotter than Vegas.
Really?
They could do a dome too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right. You should have thought.
Yeah, Phoenix. I mean, I lived there for quite a while. They have a their field where the Royal Rumble is mm-hmm. that we're attending has a retractable roof. So most of the summer, when it's like 110 degrees, that roof is closed, and they just have the AC on. But very, very easy to do.
They should just do a whole complex there and just do it all at once. NFL, baseball, basketball, hockey, all at once. And I mean, I'm sure the NBA team, if they put one there, could just play where the Golden Knights play, right? Is that the T-Mobile is where they play? So, I mean, that's right on the strip. So I think they could do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Vegas, that leads into my next question. Give me a city that hasn't hosted a Super Bowl but should, and why. And Vegas was actually Vegas. One I was thinking. Yeah.
That's the easiest one. I mean, they're, I think it's, for hosting a Super Bowl, it's really a lot of it is about the setup of the city and how they can handle that influx of people and how spread out things are. And I think Vegas is pretty well equipped for that.
Yeah, you don't want another Jacksonville, because I heard Jacksonville just...
That was a disaster.
It was.
The Super Bowl was in Phoenix when I lived out there, and they handled it no problem. A lot of nightlife and stuff there. So,
when's the last time they've been in L.A.? Have they been there at all lately? I know we do.
Not I'm sure off the top of my head.
No, I can't remember when. I mean... Did they do? Yeah, it was, I remember in the I can't go far back as when was it Raiders Redskins? That has to have been one since then.
Last one was 93.
Wow!
But well, according to Wiki, they're set for 2022. So I'm guessing they're going to get one right when the new
stadium opens.
I don't know if these are accurate, but it seems like it's going to be future games that are donated in italics. So yeah, as soon as that new stadium opens, they're probably going there. So there's been 10 in Miami, 10 in New Orleans, 7 in L.A., 4 in Tampa, 3 in San Diego, 3 in Phoenix, 3 in Houston, 2 in Atlanta, 2 in Detroit, 2 in San Fran, 2 in Minneapolis, 1 in Jacksonville, 1 in Dallas, 1 in Indy, 1 in New York.
They should never do the New York thing again. 100%.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't have weather be like a big fact. You know what I mean? Like, if you get the two best teams out there,
I mean, it still makes me nervous that they have WrestleMania in New York area, and that's April.
Yeah,
agreed. Yes, we're going. I'm bringing my my 9-year-old nephew. Who hates being cold, so I'm hoping.
I know. I'm bringing my son. Will be 12 at the time when we go. So
it'll be good,
man. Up, you gotta teach them both now.
Yeah, my son won't complain.
This is the 40s, they'd be going to war.
Jesus Christ. Again, you're on fire tonight there, JT. Yeah. Bring in the A game.
When doesn't he? So, okay, so we're going to stick with football. So, you know, lots been going on about football trades and players, you know, kind of setting the terms or, you know, not wanting to show up. And the whole rules with like franchising and so much, Justin, let's talk about Antonio Brown for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think, he's going to end up, who should trade for him? What you should give up for him?
To me, there's like certain guys that are worth the trade. And I know we were having this discussion a bit today in our chat group, and there's a subset that believe, you know, a guy like him could come in and submarine the team. It's not worth the money. He's going to pout. But if you're a team that's deficient of talent or on the flip side, one receiver away, I don't know how you – guys like this don't hit the market that often for potentially like a high to mid-round draft pick. Like, I don't think they're going to get a first for him. I'd be surprised. Cooper got a first, I guess, but the Raiders are stupid. I don't think that's stupid. So I'm thinking
The Raiders received the first. You're saying the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
No, I'm saying the Cowboys were fine. I'm saying, yes, I'm sorry. The Cowboys are stupid. I don't think any team was probably going to give up a first for Brown, knowing he's a malcontent and pissed off, I guess what I'm trying to say. But the Raiders were stupid because they probably should have kept him, because even that first now is basically going to be a second. Does that make sense?
There you go. I'm all on board whenever we can call the Raiders stupid. So if we have to back into it, that's fine.
All right, so here's the way I want to say it, is that elite talent like that doesn't come around that often. And the Steelers, I think, would be stupid to part with them. I think the Raiders are stupid to part with Cooper, especially to a team that didn't necessarily look like they were going to have a high enough first round pick to make it worthwhile. But that said, if the Steelers are going to shop him, I think teams say like the Jets or like the Bills, you know what I mean? Or maybe even like the Colts, who could use a number one to go with Hilton 1A, 1B. A team like that illustrates like the kind of wide receiver away, or a team that's totally deficient of talent. To me, I think it's worth the gamble on a pick that's probably never going to be as good as Antonio Brown in a year where the free agent market is very bereft of wide receiver talent and the draft is not really stocked either. Now, that's to say there's not going to be stars. There's always stars that come from everywhere in the draft, especially at the receiver position. But if you're getting a lock star receiver who, yes, may be a bit of a diva, but whatever, what receiver, big time receiver, hasn't been. I think to me it's worth the risk. And I feel the same way about Le'Veon Bell. If you're a team that is devoid of talent like some are, and a guy like him can come in, and even if you get 3 years out of him, if he's good enough, you know, if he's what he was, you know, these guys are in their 20s. I don't know how old Brown is. I know Bell's only, what, like 26. To me, it's like spend the money and see what happens if you're building that way. But that's just me. To me, I always bet on the talent.
Yeah. So I have some thoughts here. So Brown, I completely agree. I mean, if he's actually available, which it seems like he is, right, and it's, you know, they can't work it out. He's the best, right, the best receiver to be available like this since Randy Moss, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's kind of a similar situation, but not really. Moss had already kind of killed a team,
right?
Yeah. And had all sorts of issues and had a shitty year before they traded him. And you see how that worked out. Brown, I mean, so you hear this stuff that maybe he's a bit of a diva, right? And one, it's never impacted him on the field at all. The guy's been super, super productive. You've never seen him not finish routes and shit like that. I mean, the guy's essentially been the best receiver mm-hmm. in football over the last 5 years. And two, I mean, it's, you know, he's been with that team for a long time. And this is, you know, you've heard a few different things this year. Some off the field stuff, like he threw that furniture off the you know, 12th story window or whatever the hell it was and almost hit somebody. And then obviously he's had this stuff, but I don't even think it's that much of a gamble. Honestly, I think if he's truly available, I think it's going to, I think they will get either straight up for a first or a good player in a third, one of those two, because I mean, Justin and Andy talk about what kind of team would need him? Well, it's a young team that's got a lot of cap room, and mm-hmm. hey, why not bring in this guy? Or hey, it's a veteran team that who doesn't need the best receiver in the NFL?
Right.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what he is, and you could see. I mean, you know, I'm a Patriots fan. I'd friggin' love for the Patriots to get Antonio Brown to take two firsts or. You know, or other teams. I mean, even, you know, the Rams or these teams where it looks like maybe you don't need him. I mean, who doesn't need Antonio Brown on their team, right? Bell.
To me, the only team that would be stupid is a team that is like a full-on rebuild. Like, I think like the Bengals, you know what I mean? Like the Cardinals.
Right, of
like
course.
A team that's really going nowhere. But if you're a team that's, you know, a young quarterback in place and you're on the verge, or if you're like legit Super Bowl contender, like the Texans, the Pats, like one of those teams, you know. But if you're just in that middle, like the Dolphins, like they shouldn't fuck with it. You know what I mean? Like teams like that. That
and the Giants.
Gonna, you know, Brown's not going to get you anywhere. Yeah, the Giants. Although, who knows? They already sounds like they want to get rid of Beckham. So
yeah, we can be talking about him next episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good comp, right? I mean, he's been more productive than Odell Beckham. He's been less of a headache than Odell Beckham. What do you think if Odell Beckham went on the market tomorrow? I think he would fetch a first round pick.
Yeah, he's younger. He's younger than Brown, right? Though, so I think
receivers don't age. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, to me, Brown is essentially
tires. Though,
to me, Brown is essentially like. I mean, he reminds me of he's like Marvin Harrison in his prime. I think is the perfect comp.
With the guns.
Same kind of guy. Oh, Marvin Harrison is clearly not a great guy. But if a guy like this is available. And it's at a premium position, which we'll talk about Bell in a second. But receivers, a premium position. Receivers get drafted in the top 10 every year. Receivers get paid every year. It's not you can't sign anybody off the street to give you 80% of Antonio Brown. It's not how it works. So I think they're going to get a lot for him if he's available. And I think the Jets are a good landing spot, Justin. I think there's a good chance that they would do it.
Beckham's 4 years younger too, which is why I think that, I mean, that's a decent clip, like in a lot less wear and tear, that could maybe, you could argue the first for him versus Brown. I think Brown's worth the first, but it wouldn't shock me, especially as you know, like the Steelers seem, Beckham is kind of like, we may trade him. We don't like, but with Brown, it's like, this guy's going to go. It's kind of like what's coming out right now.
The Patriot, the Rams traded a first round pick for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, well, that's still fucking Jedi mind.
He's younger. Well, the Patriots traded a first-round pick for him, too. Yeah. I mean, he's younger, too, but... I mean, to me, it's great. I mean, especially...
Well, see, to me, it depends on the team, though. Like, when you're the Pats or the Rams, you're trading a first, it's more like a second, right? Whereas if you're a team that is like the Jets, where it could be like a top 10, you know, so I think there's some... I think you had to weigh that part of it too, like what the odds are where that pick's going to land. And to me, I think that's what the Cowboys did, right? They gambled that they were going to make the playoffs or whatever with Cooper, and that the first wouldn't be as valuable. So I think there's a part of it too that comes into play.
Sure.
But when has the trade ever happened where I can only really think of one that jumps out where like the team, and maybe more so in baseball, but where the team that traded the prospects or the picks regretted it more than the team that got the player. I mean, Herschel Walker, I guess, but that's what I was thinking of. But when I mean this that may well. Like, this may stand more for baseball, where I think usually you'll take the talent, the proven major league talent versus the single A guys, right? But mm-hmm. I think if you're getting the guy versus the unknown in the pick, unless it's like a top five pick or something, to me you'd rather have the proven all star.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Bell's a different story to me. I think he's going to get paid, but I don't think the market. So you have a couple of things, right? One, the guy showed a willingness to sit out a whole season. So I guess I give him some credit for standing his ground, but that inherently makes him a little bit more risky. Two, he's a running back, and he's a little bit of an older running back, and we know that position doesn't age very well. Three, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, it doesn't generally make sense for teams to have their highest paid guys be at the running back position. It's a position where you can get cheap talent to give you, I mean, you saw it in Pittsburgh this year with James Conner. He gave you 90% of Le'Veon Bell for 1/80th the cost. So I think Bell will get paid, but the market, it's definitely not a situation where he's as coveted as a guy like Antonio Brown.
So you don't buy, see, like, to me, I think Bell is unique. And that I do think he deserves to be paid almost like a receiver because of how many balls he catches and his ability to split out and go almost go into the slot. Like, I think he's beyond just a standard running back. I do think running backs in general are replaceable, but I do think there is a few that are worthwhile. Now, my argument,
I'm not saying he's not worthwhile. It's just he wants a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money. And in the NFL, that matters. It's not.
But to me, where he comes into play is not so much with a team that like needs a guy over the top. Like, that's where the receiver comes in versus the running back. Because I think your point stands, like Pittsburgh. To me, where that comes into play is a team like the Jets. And I'm trying to think of another one that could maybe jump off the page. Like, I had thought the Colts for a while, but now seeing how they're really kicking in high gear, where like there's a severe lack of overall talent available. And you have a young quarterback that could use a big safety valve. And like, this guy could come in, and even if you get 3 years out of him, could be Darnold's like savior of dumping the ball off, running the ball, helping take the pressure off. Like, if you can bring that guy in at age 26 for just money, for three, even if it's 3 years, the rest of his rookie contract. And yeah, ideally, do you not want to pay? But isn't that kind of what you do when you have that cheap rookie deal, you know, like, is if you can. But in general, I agree with you. But I do think there's specific use cases where a guy like that makes sense for a team with a lot of cap money that has like that just needs an injection of superstar level talent to help take them to the next level. So
I don't like him for the Jets.
I think like even like the Niners are a team to me, like where he would.
Yeah, I mean, they just paid they owe McKinnon a bunch.
I'm saying in a vacuum, a team like that. You know what I'm saying? A team
like that. To me, like, I mean, for the Jets, I think they're better served spending the money elsewhere. That's just me. But I think a team that would fit, and I don't have cap numbers in front of me, but I think Houston is a team that would be a great, great fit for him. They're very, very weak at the running back position. They have a young quarterback, as you said, that could use that safety valve. Kansas City would be another great fit. They have the young quarterback rookie deal.
You don't think Damian Williams has proven your point?
They obviously don't have a running back. I don't think it's impossible that one of those teams figures out how to bring him in because it's a Sounds pretty good, right? Pat Mahomes with Le'Veon Bell and Tyreek.
Well, that's why I thought the Colts were a great fit. I mean, him with Luck and Hill. I mean, that was like, to me, that seemed like a great fit. But the way Marlon Mack has played.
Yeah, and they've shown a real commitment to, like, the reason the Colts are where they are, my co-host of This Week in the NFL mentioned, is the commitment they showed to building up in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Like, their offensive line went from the worst in the NFL to essentially the best in the NFL this year. And that has a lot to do with Mac's success, that I just don't see them throwing $17 million a year at a running back. Like,
I mean, the only reason they're popping up is because they have like 100 whatever million in cap space. But they'd probably, I think Brown there makes a ton of sense. Like, they don't really have a standout. Now, they got good guys, but they don't have a standout too, that could really come in and just, I mean, how lethal, who would you cover, you know, Brown or Hilton, you know, it's like,
let's just like Brown or Juju. And right. You see how successful that was. Like, I think the Steelers are nuts. Like, I mean, I think there's a chance that this gets worked out and he doesn't, and you know, that he doesn't go, because I mean, I think they're crazy. I know that Juju's a very, very good receiver and can step in as a number one, but behind him, your number three is like James Washington or Eli Rogers. Mm-hmm. And you don't have Le'Veon Bell anymore. Like, it's, to me, it's like letting him walk. I mean, they haven't, you know, done, I mean, they've been good, but kind of underachieving with these guys. You pull these superstars off the team and essentially Ryan Roethlisberger's last year or two are going to be, you know, 8-8, 9-7 at best. Like, I mean, to me, they're nuts to not work things out with them.
Cool. Yeah. Free agency. That's,
As the James Washington dynasty owner, I hope Brown leaves.
Yeah, that guy doesn't look like her.
He came on the last couple games.
Yeah, he did. After, and that's the other thing we haven't talked about is I put a lot of this Brown stuff. I was talking to you today about this, Justin, on Roethlisberger. like if you, I mean, you see the reports, like, what, I mean, it's not even like a he said, she said, but you saw Roethlisberger during the regular season do that interview and just like where he threw that awful interception. He was going for Brown. And he just threw it right to the defensive lineman at the 1 yard line earlier in the season. And he came out in the media and blamed James Washington for diving instead of running through the ball. Said Brown didn't square the route off right. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is a known just complete prick. Right, I mean, he's like not a good person. I think I'm safe in saying that. And there's reports coming out that he's like rides Brown in practice and like talks trash and all this stuff. Like, I mean, Brown's such a great player, you know, that he shouldn't have to put up with that shit from that moron.
I thought Ben was done. Like, I'm surprised now that they're saying he's gonna maybe get a contract and these. I mean, I can't believe that. Honestly, it's kind of like the Eli stuff. I mean, it's like you're choosing this washed quarterback who, yes, is a legend to the franchise. But, I mean, Eli's not a
But dude. He's still good. Like, I mean, Ben has trouble staying healthy. But when he's out there, he's still good. Eli just has had a fork sticking out of his back.
If I'm them, I'm keeping Brown, and I'm trying to draft a quarterback in the first round this year and making this Ben's last year. That's
yeah, I mean, they took Mason Rudolph in the second round last year, who could be an answer. I think we saw that Josh Dobbs probably isn't an answer based on that, you know, that half or so that he played that cost them the playoffs.
No, I was actually just looking up Eli's contract status, because I know it's his last year coming, but he's got a full no trade. So I don't think we'll see him going anywhere next year.
Yeah, I mean, who the hell would trade? Are you kidding me?
I mean, they had their chance maybe with Jacksonville, but I think Coughlin probably didn't even want him at that point. But that was like their one hope. It was like the perfect fit last year. Coughlin's there. They were a quarterback away, and they didn't do it. And, I mean, this is another debate for another day, which I don't feel like getting into right now, is if the Giants should have taken a quarterback last year or not. Barkley's obviously amazing, but you know what? There's been a ton of running backs that have been great with no quarterback that have gone nowhere. So it's I don't know what they're going to do this year, but – it seems like they're already talking themselves into Eli again. So we'll see how things play out, but you can argue that.
It's a travesty It is a travesty that those skill position guys, I mean, Barkley, you could argue, is the best running back in the NFL right now. He's definitely top three. Beckham, same thing, definitely top three at his position. Evan Engram, top five at his position. Even Sterling Shepard's a good player, and I know their line isn't great, right? So they need to improve their line. But for those to have those skill position guys with that quarterback who everybody but them can see is just completely toast. Mm-hmm. Watch him. Just watch him play. Watch him play. You or I could go out there and do what he does. And I almost mean that. Rant over.
Okay. But before we move on, we have a third guest joining us. One of our returning guests here. Only episode 2 and I have a returning guest. Mr. Jordan Duncan has returned to the Great Debate.
Hey guys,
Jordan,
it's been great. I'm out of here.
Sorry I'm late, guys. I just I met Eli Manning. I had to stop and get his autograph real quick. So.
Now it truly is the Deuce episode now.
I asked him to throw it to me. I was 5 yards away, though. So,
did he trick you into putting something on your Visa card?
No, not quite. No.
Did he trick you into passing up on an awesome deal because he wants to hang out with you instead?
Absolutely.
Very, hi guys. Cool. Real quick, Jordan, got you on the spot. We passed it, but give me a city that you think should host the Super Bowl that hasn't. Real quick.
Well, okay. What did you guys say?
We said Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. Okay, Vegas was my first answer, so I'll go with my second answer, which is Chicago, just because of an outdoor, in the cold Super Bowl possibility, I think would be fun, you know?
Yeah. Very, all right, cool.
It's a big city. I think it's a city that's big enough for people to travel to. It can host the Super Bowl. Like Detroit had one, and Detroit was not ready to host a Super Bowl. It's not,
they're not ready to host people living there, let alone.
Not quite. I mean, once we get our drinking water, right? I think we're ready to put some bids
once in. You get into the 1800s, you'll be ready.
Yep.
Very cool, Jordan. Thank you for joining us, though.
No problem.
Appreciate you being here.
I successfully skipped the NHL questions, correct?
Yeah, we just basically just talked expansion a little bit. That's
my
all.
My plan succeeded. All right,
perfect. Justin was like Barry Melrose.
covered us.
I mean, just boom.
But I'm the hockey
knocked
expert
him down.
On the show. We're in trouble. That's it.
I'm hoping he's dressed like him.
A mullet.
Or that's Don Cherry. Justin, I'm hoping you have a hair like Barry Melrose.
Wish.
I don't know. Whose hair is prettier, Barry Melrose or Ron Duguay?
I'd have to Google Ron Duguay's hair. I'll go Melrose by default.
That's my answer. Who's Ron Duguay?
Exactly.
Growing up a Ranger fan.
Burgundy, I know. That
guy. Growing up a Rangers fan.
Ray Bork.
He was
Ray Bork.
He was the flowing, you know, long-haired Ranger as a kid. Hmm. So before they all had to wear helmets.
Gotcha.
He was the heartthrob of the team, if you will. But we're going to talk about baseball free agency, since we have a lot of top guys still on the market. And Justin, you and I are both Yankee fans. And do you think we're getting Machado, Harper, or both? Neither? What do you think, Justin?
Well, Andy, I'm on the record that thinking they should sign both because they can afford it. And in my mind, you don't get the option to sign 25-year-old like top 10 players just for money that often. Like, these guys are super young. They're proven talents. They are stars. And in baseball, people can pretend that they're small market teams that owners can cry poor. But that's not really true, because all owners are billionaires. It just depends how much they want to pump back into their team. For the 16th consecutive year, MLB saw record gross revenues. Baseball-related revenues are $10.3 billion, according to industry sources. Look, this is going to make me sound like a really entitled, spoiled Yankee fan. But they made, I think it was $600 million this year, and their payroll was under $200
million. That's unacceptable.
Where's that money going? Where's that money going? The Red Sox, I think, made four something, and theirs was over 200, pumping the money back into the team. So, like, to me, for a team like that to make that much money, coming off the year before, coming off an ALCS Game 7, where they made a shitload of playoff money with all those extra games, to then not turn around and put the money back into the team is embarrassing. And, like, if they do not land either Machado or Harper, I think it's ridiculous. And it's only because they don't want to go over the luxury tax. And I think this is a baseball-wide problem that's led to collusion that is keeping these free agents from being paid what they're worth. And you're seeing guys having to take under-market deals and guys sitting out there. We saw it last year, too, because nobody wants to be the guy that paid too much for a certain player. And what it's going to do is it's going to lead to a fucking strike or you know, whatever in a couple of years when the collective bargaining agreement comes up, because they're not going to keep dealing with this. Where these, I mean, who would have thought if you 3 years ago, if you said Bryce Harper is going to be a free agent and no one's going to want to pay him, like we were thinking he'd get $300 million 4 years ago, and now he might not even get 200. It's ridiculous. And to me, it's a joke that these guys are all billionaires. And what's even a bigger joke is the fucking fans that sit here and are like, don't believe the players should be paid that much. I had this exact argument. We were at a friend's house for football last weekend, and one of the guys there was like, oh, the players are overpaid and this. And I'm like, the money is going somewhere. It's not like it comes out of nowhere and goes to the players. Like, it's going somewhere. It's sitting in the fucking owner's pocket. So wouldn't you rather have the guys that are actually generating the revenue and making the money for your team be earning the money versus just, you know, all these owners are sitting on it like that scrub Polat in Minnesota who cried poor for all those years, sitting on billions of dollars? Like, it, to me, it's a joke. And for Hal Steinbrenner to sit there and say, you know, I'm not going to give Bryce Harper $30 million a year because I don't want to pay an extra, you know, luxury tax deal when he's making $400 million on the team, to me, is ridiculous. And at some point, it becomes like, why are you even supporting this if it just comes down to greedy owners not, you know, paying the players what they're worth? And they're the ones who set this league up this way, where there's no salary cap and guys can get paid what they can get paid. And to me, you can't have it both ways, right? You can't have this world set up like this and then not want to pay the guys. And it's just going to lead to big issues. And they're going to lose a bunch of money and support when they all go on strike in 3 years because these guys are just sitting out here, and it's clearly some sort of collusion among owners to not want to pay the luxury tax. And maybe the luxury tax gets removed. And a bigger issue, too, is teams that are completely tanking and not even putting a competitive product on the team, on the field. That's the exact opposite problem that's going on in baseball as well, because it worked for the Astros and it worked for the Royals. Now, every team, you know, there were, what, seven or eight teams that didn't even win 70 games or whatever last year that are completely – you're going into this season already, you can eliminate like 10 teams that have clearly thrown up the flag and not even trying. And, you know, they're barely meeting the salary floor because everyone went overboard with the market efficiencies and everything else. And if some team just smartened up and is like, fuck, we could just pay these guys and have an all-star team because no one else wants to pay them. And to me, the Yankees sitting on that much money should be looking at Harper and Machado. I am done. That's all I have to say.
Well, we're okay. So they signed both. Where does like Stanton go? Where does, you know, you have that.
Sign the players and figure out the rest later. It's very simple. It's not that difficult.
Just throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
Harper in left field, you put Judge in right, or you put Harper in center. Or whatever, if you're staying a DH, you know, keep guard. There's plenty of room for all of them. Put Machado at third, Andrew Har first. Trust me, you can fit all these guys wherever you want. You worry about it later. Get the stars and worry about the rest later.
Okay. Roger, you got anything to say about this?
That was quite a stream of consciousness, Justin.
I've been building for weeks on me.
I'm not quite as passionate. I don't like the the structure of how baseball does things. With that said, given that this is the structure, I agree pretty much 100% with you, Justin, that, you know, if you're going to set it up this way where there's no cap, then you got to pay these guys, right? That's the whole point. Doing some sort of cap would obviously eliminate some of that tanking stuff.
Never going to happen. The cap's never going to happen.
No, I know. It's never going to happen. As far as those guys, I mean, I think Machado is a bit of a cancer, but he's a great player, and he's under 25, and they don't come around too often. He's got a bad attitude. I mean, his bad attitude got them to the, you know, got to the World Series last year. So I can certainly
wasn't that much of a cancer. Yeah.
I can see the argument for signing him. The money wouldn't be the issue for me with him. It would be I would choose Harper based on character. If they're kind of essentially the same guy, they play different positions, obviously, but you know they're both. Two of the top 10 guys in the league, right?
Which is funny because all you heard for years was that Harper was a punk and didn't hustle and all. Now all of a sudden he's the angel of the free agent class, which is fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hustler. He's gotten hurt hustling.
Right? No, I know, but you always heard that he was like had an attitude and stuff. Like that was always kind of the rap on him from Uninformed.
He came up so young.
Yeah,
I mean, he was.
They're like, all young. These guys are. That's like why I don't even buy the Machado stuff. Like everyone's a douche at 25. Like if you could see Jordan, I talked to you online when you were fucking 25. You were an asshole. You know, you're still an asshole.
Well, I'm 39, so what's my excuse now?
But Roger, I know you were a fucking douche at 25. I know I was a dick at 25. I see my Facebook memories that come up and stuff. I mean, you know, it's like whatever. It's like everyone's an ass. And now give yourself millions of dollars at 25 and make yourself right. An elite baseball player. Everyone's going to be a dick. I mean, it all comes down to situation and scenario and everything else. So you do your homework and you figure out. But to me, talent wins out and you figure the rest out later.
Wow, you just made me feel real old. Facebook was not even a thought when I was 25.
It wasn't for him either. He was rounding up.
I have a douchebag post like 28, 29. But my point is, when you're in your mid-20s, you're
33.
Yeah, you're usually a dick in your mid-20s, is my point.
Sure. I joined Facebook in my, like 2007-ish, around there. And I was told I was old to join Facebook then. And well, I was about 34, 30, 35 at the time. Well, Jordan, what do you have to say about baseball free agency?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything I've heard Justin say on this before, and I agree with it. I don't think there is such a thing as a small market team in the sense of being able to afford somebody. These owners are billionaires, and I think the biggest con job in all of professional sports is that team owners have convinced fans that it's the players who are greedy.
Yes.
When they don't make their money. You know, the players are, sure, they make more money than we'll ever see in our lifetime, but they're millionaires playing for billionaires. And any team could get these guys if they just open up the paycheck. I'm a fan of the Detroit Tigers. We have seen the negative side of just spending money because they made some poor decisions. We're locked into Miguel Cabrera for another 5-6 years. I don't know if he's ever going to play again. I think we're still paying Prince Fielder. legitimately, I think we have to pay him for 2 more years.
Well, you're paying for his vegan chef.
Yeah. At least it's not Bobby Bonilla Day for you guys.
I think Victor Martinez just came off the books at the end of this past season. So, I mean, I guess there is some apprehension there in terms of just recklessly spending. It can bite you in the butt, but that's what you have scouts for. That's what you have general managers for. It's, you know, a 25-year-old is a guy that you do give an 8-year contract to, not a 300-pound 34-year-old.
I mean, I argue that even those guys, even if you know the end of the contract is going to be mm-hmm. no good, mm-hmm. that you still do it. In order to field a competitive team, if that's what it takes, like the Yankees did it with Ellsbury, right, and everybody killed them, and it turned out how people said, but. You know, I think it was the right move at the time. The Red Sox have certainly done it a number of times.
Same with Cano in Seattle, right? I mean, they got what they thought they were going to get. And, you know, and even now he's, like, serviceable. But
yeah, even with Detroit, too. I mean, we didn't get a World Series win out of it. We got 3 appearances, yeah. Only 4 in my lifetime. You know, so 3 of them are in the past, you know, 12 years. And, yeah, we overpaid for Cabrera, and we're going to get him in his twilight years. But you overpay to have him in his prime. And that's just kind of like the tax. For me, is you got to have him, you know, when he's old and broke down, and that's fine with me, you know.
And that's what makes Machado and Harper so tantalizing, though, is that you're not really paying for those
debts. Right, you might like, that right. contract might be done, and they're still good to go.
Right,
this is like LeBron James going to the Heat. Yeah. This is, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, and I think people will give Yankee, you know, if they do both go to the Yankees, people are going to do the standard. Oh, the Yankees spent money on him, but again, so could the freaking Tampa Bay Rays if they wanted to. They don't want to. That's their fault, you know?
You know, I agree 100%. And the buy money thing doesn't hold water with me when every team sense is pretty much – I mean, the Red Sox pretty much bought one, right? I mean, it's like every team does at this point. You don't hear the Red Sox saying it anymore like they did for a decade. But it's whatever. That's the rules within the game. And every like you said, Jordan, I think you nailed it. The biggest con is that the owners have convinced the fans that the players aren't worth this money and that they're greedy and that they don't deserve it when they're just pocketing all the difference.
They're the ones that are charging us $9 for a Pepsi at the games. You know,
right. It's not like that's going down.
When you can pay $200 million and David Price delivers you that World Series championship, it makes it okay. Just makes it okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that feeling, but okay.
Well, all right. I'll get into the close of the sports segment, but let's one final question is what should the MLB do about the DH? Because, I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a American League fan. It's not that I don't like the strategy and all that. I hate seeing pitchers hit. And I think because of the players' union, the DH is never going away. So, Jordan, what do you think the MLB should do about the DH in the World Series and Interleague? And who has the advantage when it comes to that?
Short answer, I don't think they should do anything different. I don't have a real problem with how it is now. I think that there is, like Justin just said, you know, when we're talking about Machado and Harper, you know, you sign them all and figure out where somebody plays. Somebody can just be the DH. I think it just allows you a spot to have another quality player on your team. I do think it is a little odd that one league does it, one league doesn't. But I don't know. I think that makes it kind of fun to see, like Justin Verlander have to take 5 at bats a season. You know, it can cause some problems, but that just speaks to talent level too. Like again, to go to the Tigers a couple years back when they were in the World Series, we had a couple broken down guys: Victor Martinez, Fielder, and Cabrera, and one of them had to DH. But then on those road games, one of them would have to sit. And it's kind of like some of the fans would be like, well, that's not fair. But it's kind of like, well, it is fair that our team's just not deep enough, you know, that our team, you know, doesn't have guys that are able to actually play in the field. That's how bad they are. Literally all they can do is swing a bat. You know, if you're resting your chances of winning on a guy that all he can do is swing, that's your problem. So I don't think I don't have a real problem with how it's done right now. I don't see any need to change it.
Well, I don't think it's about bad sometimes. Sometimes it's about just extending careers. You look at somebody like Paul Molitor or something like that. Paul Molitor played, I forgot what position he played, but I mean, he was a quality fielder for a number of years. And then, you know, to extend his career, he became one of the best, better DHs in the league. And, you know, Justin, what do you think about the DH when it comes to Interleague, World Series, et cetera?
I mean, I like baseball and I get the nostalgia and the romanticism of it. And it leads to stuff like obsessing over, you know, historical stats and records. And it means, you know, ignoring that some people did steroids and blaming others that did and keeping them out of the, like all this other stuff that comes along with it. But I think baseball getting stuck in this old timey feel to a lot of it is also kept in the dark ages with a lot of things. You know, instant replay was one of them that they fought for a long time.
Yeah.
Automated strike zones is another one. You know, the calls balance out. It's a game of human error. Like all that shit was nauseating, and I'm glad that they're starting to move past it a little bit. Like, you know, we're okay knowing that the game is fucked up because this is how we did it in the 1920s. Like, it's so dumb. Like, I mean, you know, we didn't have medication for a lot of illnesses in the 1920s either. But you know what? A lot of people would be dead without them. So I think, you know, times change and we should embrace technology and how to, you know, put it in the game, into sports and into games like baseball. And I think that trickles down to the DH too. Like, I get that it's the NL's old school and the pitcher's bat, but to me, it's not fun. Like, when I'm watching interleague games or National League games, it's like you get a rally going, and now here comes the fucking pitcher, and they're going to strike. It's like, to me, I don't want to see the pitchers hit. And they're all athletes, and they should all be able to do this and that. But no, they're not brought up that way. Like, that's not how they're groomed, and that's not what they're prepped to be. They're prepped to start every, especially nowadays where pitchers are so fragile. I don't want them out there swinging the bat. So this becomes a dead spot, and I don't need another dumb manager making another dumb move with a double switch and put a guy in. Like, you know, don't tell me it's a game of strategy and thought when half the managers have no clue what they're doing because they don't refuse to keep up with stats and, you know, efficiencies and everything else. It's just, it's not 1983 anymore. And I understand that that's the way baseball was, but I don't think that's the way baseball has to be. I think you look at a sport like the NBA that has embraced technology and modernization, and it really kind of saved them. Football has done it to an extent as well, and I think baseball is just behind the times in a lot of ways that they can improve the game while still keeping that old school flavor. And it's going to happen because eventually the old guard that is obsessed with stuff like that is going to die off, and I think it's going to lead to guys that were accused of doing PEDs getting into the Hall of Fame, and more as younger, you know, writers and everything else come into the forefront. But I just think I just don't get the appeal of having pitchers sit. Like, to me, it's a dead spot in the lineup. It kills rallies. It's not fun to me. Like, I don't think it's neat. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, to me too. Right.
So,
go ahead.
So you don't like when a pitcher gets on base and they wear those swanky jackets?
No, I like it less when, you know, your ace breaks his fucking foot because there's a lot of run bases. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's a lot worse.
It's like having somebody like return a kick that's not used to it. Like, I remember that kind of effed up Seahorn number of years ago. you know, it's one of those things. It's like a position that, you know, baseball pitching has become so specialized these days. It's like, I don't want to see my starting pitcher up there. I don't want to see my middle reliever. You know, I just, I'm more of a fan. I like pitcher's duels. Don't get me wrong, but I like to see, you know, good, lots of good rallies and lots of good offense, you know, when it comes to baseball. Roger, what are your thoughts on the DH?
I don't have a super strong opinion either way, to be honest. I mean, I kind of side with Jordan. I do like the, I just, from a fan's perspective, I think it adds some intrigue to the interleague games and to the World Series, where you have these kind of odd situations for both teams, really. And I do think there's more of an element of strategy in the National League, even though Justin says the guys don't know what they're doing. Well, if they do, it's an advantage. But I could go either way with it. I mean, the one thing you brought up and it kind of resonated with me was around the pitcher hitting and just how special Shohei Ohtani is to. You know, to be able to do that, if he's in the National League, he could hit every day.
Yeah. Well, he does in the AL. I guess he doesn't for the guinea pitches, but I mean, that could be the future, though, right? I mean, if they get rid of that, maybe there's more players that come up with that skill set, and maybe that becomes a new efficiency where guys that can play, you know, can DH and pitch as well. So maybe get to that point. But I like Jordan's comparison Andy, I like your comparison with the return of the kicks because, like, all right, let's have quarterbacks return kicks. You know what I mean? Like, because that's how we did it. It's like, to me, it's why are you forcing this in just for some romantic nostalgia? Because that's what it's always been.
Yeah. I mean, some, it also affects, like, you know, where people sign because they don't want to, you know, some pitchers want to really hit. And also there's an advantage, like, you know, guys coming over from, you know, the National League to the American League are used to having that dead spot in the lineup, and then now they got to face, like, you know, a 1-9 of, like, actual hitters. You know, I remember when I was a kid, Rick Rodin, I don't know if he was a free agent or he signed with a trade to the Yankees. He, like, I think he put in his contract that he got to DH at least once, because I remember that, because he loved to hit so much. That was his big thing. He also refused to give me an autograph once at a game, so I never forgave him. But, you know, I'll tell my therapist about that one. Anyway, so great sports segments, Guy. Thank you for all your great insight and thoughts. So we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back, do a little pop culture when we can return. So we got Justin Rosero, Jordan Duncan, and the cowboy, Roger Morissette. I'm Andy Atherton here on Great Debate Number 2. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
PlaySuite Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaySuiteNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the PlaySuite Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB in Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
to Be Nation. Welcome back to Great Debate, episode number 2. I am Andy Atherton, hanging out with Justin Rosero, the cowboy Roger Morissette, and Jordan Duncan. And we're about to move on to our pop culture segment. But first, we're going to talk about PlaceToBeNation.com. And since I've got one of the main guys here, I got JR, Justin Rosero. Justin, what's going on over there at PlaceToBeNation.com?
Well, a lot, Andy. Thanks. Of course, we have stuff going up each and every day. A lot of it now podcast-based, so I'm going to turn to kind of following our feeds that we have out there. It's PlaceToBeNation Wrestling Feed. Has some great shows going up almost, I would say, every other day or so. Of course, it starts with the show you mentioned earlier, me and Scott's Place to Be podcast, kind of started it all. As far as the feed goes, you had a new Survey Says that came out. That's Andy Helene, Tim Cable. They go through various WCW topics. Wrestling War Zone, me and Chad Campbell going through the Monday Night War, starting in with the second episode of Nitro, which is really the first head-to-head, and we're going pay-per-view and TV from there. Me and Aaron George have No Holds Barred. Of course, Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey every other week are here with Main Event, the kind of looking at the current day wrestling landscape. And then a brand new show that started called You Don't Know Billy Jack with our buddy Drew, joined by a non-wrestling fan, Jordan, as it may be. And really, kind of as they know here in the first episode, took inspiration from another show on the feed, Jeff Learns Wrestling. So the two of those are kind of companion pieces that pair up, and it's a longtime fan teaching a brand new fan about wrestling and taking them on the journey. So those are out there for you. And one of my other favorite installments I'll mention quickly on the PlaceToBeNation Wrestling Feed is From the Vault, Where the Big Boys Play. Where the Big Boys Play is a wrestling podcast with Chad Campbell and Parv, where they would go through the old, really starting Starrcade 83, moving through WCW Supercards. And that was on the Pro Wrestling Only feed in the past. That's been dormant now for a couple of years. The show is pretty much done. But we wanted to really reintroduce it to a new audience that may have not been around at that time. So those are dropping every Saturday on the PlaceToBeNation Wrestling Feed for anyone that's new or wants to relive From the Vault with those shows. So be sure to subscribe to that feed. There's plenty of content for you with always more trickling in. And then also ptbnpop.podbean.com is where your shows are, Andy. Mm-hmm. Features a lot of great sports content with this week in the NFL, like you mentioned earlier, with Cowboy here and Mr. D'Amato, the NBA team podcast, which has been going on for a while. Adam Murray and Andrew Reich really dialed in, and they do a nice job. And then tons of other pop culture content, comics with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Marvel Age and Marvel Age Masterclass, Russell Sellers has a show, DC Post Crisis Management. And then you get some other pop culture shows like Jenny and Tim on Talkin' Pop, which is kind of just like an interview show on other various pop topics. And then Freak Out Drive-In, Jenny has a guest every month and they watch live a horror movie. And then we have some music stuff as well with Sunday Groove and Songs with Friends. So lots of stuff. And I'll also mention 90s to Nothing, which is a new show Russell has as well, looking at various 90s pop culture. So I know I missed a couple there. Glenn Butler, podcast Spectacular. Plenty of other stuff too. Todd Weber's Conversation Comics and other stuff. And both of these feeds have a very deep archive as well. We really don't delete anything. So all the shows from our history of these feeds are on there on the Podbean site and on the feed as well. So that's it. I'll just mention that. And be sure to visit our message board too, bigelow34.proboards.com. We're going to have a new project going on there, our year that was 1996 in pro wrestling, plus a lot of cool discussion every day.
Yeah, very cool. Yes. I visited the message boards. I've signed up a few weeks ago. I've started to dip my toes into it. I appreciate you guys bringing those back, because I wasn't really part of the culture here back then. So I feel like, you know, it's a good place to discuss things beyond our little chats and whatever. Yep. But yeah, Place to Be Nation, the place to be in your pop culture world. Yes, we have we run the gamut here on both feeds, and lots of shows, something for everybody, and we hope you enjoy them. So we're going to move on to our pop culture segment, and our first question, and we're going to start with you, Jordan.
Okay.
Give me a show that should come back retooled, kind of like the Conners. They kind of really didn't have a choice but to retool if they wanted to survive after Roseanne's little Twitter fiasco. Because it was a good show coming back, and they actually left that open-ended the first season, and it made it very easy to kill off, although they didn't kill it off the way you thought they would. But so, Jordan, what's your show that you think should come back retooled?
So I have a pretty outside-the-box suggestion here. I'm a fan of comedies. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of dramas. And I have one of each, but I think they can come back together. Okay? Have you guys ever watched the TV show Oz?
Huge fan of Oz.
Okay, so Oz is basically a prison show, life in prison, things like that. It's been off the air for many, many years. I think it could come back, but you would call it Cosby.
Jesus so Christ.
It's the Cosby Show.
Roger, why are you shocked?
If that's not retooling, I don't know what is, man.
That's definitely a tool.
Yeah, right. So I really tried to think of something, because here's my thing. I don't like shows that just get straight reboots. I don't tend to tune in for them that much. But if somebody did something like that, I would absolutely watch Cosby, like, at least for an episode, you know.
Netflix is buying everything.
You're going to make Joe Paterno a regular on
that. Guest starring Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I mean, you could have so many celebrity guest cameos on that show, like from all these blackballed people that will never ever get any other work again. So
this week, R. Kelly, Oz was very famous for their shower scenes. So.
Exactly. You know, so
well, there you go. Golden shower.
It's the all Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. See, Justin mentioned R. Kelly. You get the golden shower.
Golden shower. You know, so, yeah, funny. I was just thinking of Dunkin' Donuts or whatever the fuck. We used to call your half-baked ideas when you came on. Here you go.
That's not even half-baked. That's like one quarter-baked idea right there. So, Roger. Yeah, that was my thought. Was
Roger, please save us.
So that is funny, Jordan. I thought you were going like reboot maybe with the women. I was like, oh, you know, Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
No, we went way off. So for me, and I don't know if this will be a popular opinion, but I would like to pick up The Sopranos 10 or so years later. I know Tony's passed away in real life, and you know we think he passed. Oh, I don't want to. Anyway, spoiler free here, right? We don't want to give anything away, but you could certainly work it in that he passed away on the show, and you could see where the family's gone, where the crime family's gone, what happened to Christopher, Adriana, all that stuff. I would, I'm like Jordan, I'm not a huge fan of reboots, but that is one I would tune in for. I think it could be well done.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you could pick up where you left off with that, rather than kind of starting it over.
Or you could do a time jump and just shift the focus, really.
You would kind of have to pick up, where you – he couldn't be in it one way.
What I mean, like in the sense of you're not starting the show over, but you're using the same characters. But
yeah, it's not a reboot. Yeah.
So I didn't answer the question correctly.
No, you're good. I mean,
there are no wrong answers here.
You're not rebooting the story. You're rebooting the show, but not the story.
That's correct. It's not Cosby.
It would definitely be a different world. Hey. Oh! Justin, what's your idea?
Besides Saturday Night's Main Event, I would say, I don't know. Like, I always think Seinfeld, I know it's like the Twitter account, Jordan, that you and I love, but the modern day Seinfeld, like, I really do think Seinfeld in today's situation, like, I would do where they've been in prison for like 20 years or whatever, and they get out and they have to acclimate to all this new technology and stuff. And like, that could be fun, like seeing them dating in this new world. And like, they're kind of stuck in the 90s, like with their concepts of how things work. And they're not used to like Tinder, like all this, you know, they're just like still trying to meet people the old way and dealing with stuff the old way. And now all of a sudden they're like in this new world of technology and everything else. Like, I don't know how, you know, even if you did like a limited 1 year run of it, it could be fun to see how they reacclimate into society and deal with it. So that would be, I think that'd be my choice. I'm also pretty excited for the 90210 reboot. I really hope it happens and that it has a lot of the old cast in it. It sounds like now the latest thing I had seen was that they were, going to do where it's almost like a mockumentary of them trying to get the show brought back where they play themselves. That's the actual idea. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I saw.
Didn't that already fail years ago? Right?
No, they did a completely new
where they, but someone like Jenny Garth and stuff was on it, right? She was like an
aunt. But it was almost like,
I know it had a kid like from The Wire.
It was like Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Terrible.
So it was like they have like 90210 the new class where they had some of the old characters like as parents and stuff.
Oh yeah.
But this is supposed to actually be them, like about them. Like Jason Priestley is supposed to be in it. Like all of them are supposed to be in it. But now the idea that I saw is it's like it's actually them as not Brandon Walsh, but it's him as Jason Priestley, and they're working trying to get the show brought back. And that's the show. With them. So
I like it.
I mean, anyway. I personally would like to see the Buffyverse come back. you know, I didn't really watch Buffy when it was on, and I had to screen a show about Buffy for work, and I got into it. I started, you know, watching the seasons, and I got into Angel, and I was really upset when Angel got canceled.
It's a tangled web right there, Andy. I had a girlfriend a long time ago who was big into the Buffyverse.
Yes, it is. I mean, once Angel like hits his stride, it was like one of the best shows. And I thought it ended a little early. I probably said this on one of my previous shows, but I always thought they should have like a supernatural Charlie's Angels type thing. I don't know if you guys ever watched Buffy or Angel, but I thought they should make Spike like the Bosley and have Faith, who was that was Elijah Dushku's vampire slayer. Illyria, played by, what the hell is her name? Amy Acker. She was like a god that took over Fred's body. And then a Willow, who was the great Allison Hannigan, the witch. So kind of like, you know, a witch, a god, and a vampire slayer led by a vampire. I mean, that's ratings gold right there. No? Crickets?
You're on your own.
I've only seen maybe a handful of
them. Yeah, I don't have a ton of familiarity.
I saw the episode where John Ritter was a robot that killed people, I think. Yeah. So that's about it.
That was Three's Company. I'll defend your conundrum, Andy, because I worked where you work, and I know you can get sucked into random stuff just because you're sitting there with nothing else to do. So I watched all of Third Watch, like religiously, because I had nothing else to do with A&E. One other show I want to say I thought I had some juice left in the tank when it ended, and it's easy to do because they were cycling characters in and out anyway, and that's Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
They could easily bring that back. I mean, they pretty much have like three different groups of young kids anyway in 5 years. So you could, you know, I don't know what the fuck Tim Riggins is doing, but I haven't seen him anywhere since he failed in that Greek Warrior movie or whatever he was in. So I think you could bring him back easily. Bring back Jason Street in his wheelchair, Coach Taylor. Yep. Get Tammy off the 911 show, and you're good to go.
Yep. I'm all for that, yeah.
Cool. Even Landry, he's Breaking Bad's done. What's he doing? He's not doing anything else. So.
He's in the movie Game Night.
There you go, yes, he was in that. He was good in that, too. He's underrated.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. All right. Now our next question, Roger, what's a movie that will suck you in if you're flipping channels? Like a guilty pleasure. Like, you're just sitting there, nothing's on TV, there's no sports.
I get it, yep.
Buffy.
What do you say? Buffy. Yeah, the Christy Swanson version of Buffy. So there are a number of these for me, mm-hmm. but kind of the two that pop into my head right away. Can't Hardly Wait. Great. Yes. 90s movie. No matter what part of the movie it is, I always will just keep watching it till it ends. Mike Dexter, I'll kick everyone's ass at this party. It's great stuff. And I loved Jennifer Love Hewitt in that movie. Like, I had a big crush on her when I was younger. Only her in that movie, though, not outside that movie. The Amanda Beckett character. And the other one is Rounders. I love Rounders.
Really?
Yes. If that movie's on, I'm watching it. I'm watching it to the end. I love the Teddy KGB scene at the end. I love like prime Edward Norton, prime Matt Damon. I think it's a great flick, and it's one of those movies that you can pick up anywhere during the movie and get right into it.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes in waves sometimes too, because sometimes you'll see a movie like Striptease has been on a lot for some unknown reason, and you know,
yeah, unknown, huh, Andy?
The DVD is stuck in his DVD player.
Yeah, you know, if you keep searching it on demand, there's not an unknown reason.
Guys, I told you that in the chat in confidence.
I mean, yeah, if we're talking about like a movie I'll leave on for 5 to 7 minutes, if you know what I mean. that would be maybe toward the top of that list.
Poor choice of a movie for an example. Jordan, give me what's your movie that sucks you in? No pun intended.
I had to revise my list because originally when I read their question, I didn't catch the guilty pleasure part, so I just listed like legitimately good movies like The Dark Knight and Shawshank and stuff like that, but that's not a guilty pleasure.
Well, it doesn't have to be a guilty pleasure.
I guess Rounders isn't a guilty pleasure.
Either. Yeah, but I did come up with a guilty pleasure one, and I think at the time it was a really good movie, but it's aged so poorly. But the movie War Games is like,
oh, yeah.
I really love that
Matthew
movie.
Matthew Broderick? Is that the one? Oh, that is good.
You know, where he has to like stop nuclear war by playing tic-tac-toe, but it's so dated now and it's so ancient. Like all the technology in it is so, like, it's so ridiculous, like, to think that a kid with a Commodore could, you know, hack into, you know, his school and change his report card and things like that.
Is that the
like
one
that.
With the Dungeon of Doom or are you talking about 93?
No, we're talking the 98, you know, where there was three teams, but only one guy won. So, but yeah, it was a good movie when it came out, but it's just because of technology's changed so much. It's such a silly movie now, but I'll still watch it anytime I see that it's on.
You, me, and Dupree is another real guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Oof. Jordan, you got another one, even if it's a good movie?
Yeah, I mean, like, probably Shawshank is the first one that came to my mind, like a movie that I'll always watch when it's on. But I don't think that's a guilty pleasure at all. I think it's just a legitimately great movie, you know. But to go kind of with Roger, like 90s teen movies, 10 Things I Hate About You, for sure, is a great one. Let me think what other ones are on there. I kind of like scary, like the Scary Movie franchise, which are just progressively worse, but I'll watch all of them. Yeah. So they're not on that much, though, to be honest. They're only on Halloween time.
You know what I got sucked into the other night was Jason Sherman's going to love this. D2, The Mighty Ducks 2.
That's a good movie, man.
I was flipping channels. It was like 12:30 at night. I was trying to go to bed. Nothing else was on. And I just got sucked into it for a while. I was like, what am I watching?
Oh, I love that movie. Knuckle Puck time.
Yes, when we had that discussion about Goldberg on a previous show.
Poor Goldberg.
I know. Justin, what's your when you're flipping channels, what movie will suck you in?
I think on my record as my favorite guilty pleasure movie of all time is It's Complicated. I will watch that no matter where I catch it. She's Out of My League.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's a good one.
Stainer.
He's just not that into you. That's another one I'll watch usually. Anything Justin Long related, I'll usually watch. Go in the Distance, stuff like that.
Zach and Mary.
Yes.
Great. He was fantastic.
He's ridiculously underrated. He's like tremendous in everything he's in.
Waiting.
Waiting. He's great. From the non-guilty pleasure, Step Brothers is one I'll watch regardless of when it's on, where it's on. And good and bad, it's on constantly, like on Comedy Central. So you could watch it at least like twice a week, I think, if you catch it. So that would probably be one for me there. And I had one other one. No, I forgot. I don't know. Rocky. Any Rocky.
That's I'm going to go with Devil Wears Prada.
That's a good one.
I mean, Meryl Streep is just so damn good in that movie, and so is Emily Blunt. Even though she annoys me most times, Anne Hathaway and Stanley Tucci, who is phenomenal in everything he's in. But guilty, Con Air. I mean, Con Air's on. I'm there every time.
That's great stuff, man.
You know, all those like '90s action.
Cyrus movies. The Virus.
Yeah. Yeah, and what was it? Devil Dog? What was Ving Rhames' character?
Devil Dog.
Devil right? Dog, yeah. I love Ving Rhames.
Was it Devil Dog? Because that's like the hostess.
Deviled egg, I think.
But yeah, anything with Ving Rhames in it. I mean, going back to Striptease, I mean, he's one of the best parts of that movie.
Come on.
He's really pushing this one up.
I saw Striptease in the theater. And I saw It's Complicated in the theater.
It's complicated. I did not see that in the theater, but I wish I did.
But anything like Roadhouse?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I was thinking about this the other day after I saw Aquaman. Like, I never want them to remake it, but if Hollywood is going to do it, Jason Momoa has got to be in your Roadhouse remake.
Diamond Dog.
Well, that was close.
There we go.
Very, very, very cool.
You didn't mention Bride Wars, by the way.
27 Dresses.
Oh God! Oh, Katherine Heigl.
Well, you can hear plenty of Katherine Heigl talk on the latest No Holds Barred.
Armageddon. Armageddon's another one for me that I just love. Which is
listen to you.
I cry.
Tell us, stomping on my plug.
Sorry, I'm taking my Rotella frustration out on you, Justin.
I'm plugging the Katherine Heigl talk on No Holds Barred New Year's Eve edition, where Aaron and I live watched the movie New Year's Eve. So,
and there's some Rocky talk on the episode before that.
There is a lot of Rocky talk before that.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Let's go with you, Jordan. Justin. Sorry. Name a show or a cartoon from your childhood that you would love to be made into a movie or a live action TV show.
God, I don't know. A lot of mine have. Transformers was the big one. And then there's been wrestling movies. Honestly,
did you see Bumblebee? I know you don't get to the movies often.
No, I get to like two a year, and that Creed was my one, and Super Troopers. So that was it.
If you get a chance, I literally, to use a wrestling term, I marked out.
I'll see it probably. I'll catch you one.
There are scenes on Cybertron where they call back to the cartoon that I literally like grab my kids like, oh my god, like I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean that, like Transformers and wrestling was like the biggest things I was into growing up, honestly, in sports. So like they've made the movies about the stuff I really watch. I mean, unless you're talking like really young cartoons, you know, like whatever stuff you watch when you're really young, but like
babies.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, I don't need to see a fucking Fraggle Rock movie. You know what I mean?
Live action Fraggle Rock.
I'm okay with how that went. So yeah, no, whatever. Give me a Seinfeld movie. How about that?
Okay, Jordan, what about you?
So I have two.
Okay.
Like Justin, like a lot of stuff. Like I was really into Ninja Turtles. They already made like a bunch of Ninja Turtles movies. One that already they did make a movie of, but it was garbage, was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Son of a bitch, Jordan. That was mine.
Well, then I'll skip over that and I'll talk about my other.
There is a Masters of the Universe movie.
Dolph Lundgren.
Coming out this year. I believe it's towards the end of the year. It was mentioned on another podcast, movie podcast.
I remember seeing that in the theater as a kid, and I was so hyped for it. And even as a kid, you know, as a kid, you kind of just convince yourself it was great. But even as a kid, I was like, this was not – I didn't like that. So, but the other one is you guys – I don't even remember if it was a cartoon, but I remember having the toys called Mask.
Yes.
So, and I believe we talked about this in our first episode, mm-hmm. Andy, that there is a Mask movie in the too.
Right? In development, yeah.
Dennis. Yeah, that Rocky Dennis.
Yes, yes.
I think Cher starred in that one.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Mask in the – you know, it was kind of like these guys, and they put these like Vader helmets on almost, and they would drive the little vehicles that kind of
transform. Yeah, and each mask had a different ability.
Yeah,
and a very cool laptop computer.
I remember the toys more than the show.
Yeah,
I'm sure there was a cartoon for it though.
Yeah, I actually own it. It's like I think 30 or 40 episodes.
Okay,
it's very underrated. It's like one of those things that like you know didn't know you wanted. Like if done right, it could have been like a Guardians of the Galaxy type thing. Like nobody heard of it, but it's like a kick ass something. Cause it's like kind of a sandbox that you can kind of mold since there's not as many people familiar, but it's supposedly part of the big, Hasbro verse, I guess they want to call it. It's going to a shared universe with Transformers, G.I. Joe. I think Micro Machines, I think also is in it and Mask.
A Micro Machines.
I don't know if it's my, it's one, there's a fourth product in there, fourth line, but I don't,
Battleship, maybe?
No. Oh God.
Battleship. Tried that already, right?
It's more like battle shit.
Yeah.
Like in Harold and Kumar when they said that. Yeah, Battleship was like, you know, I was like, oh, this sounds stupid. And then I heard an interview with the screenwriter. I was like, oh, but we have this whole thing where we can, you know, do whatever we want. I'm like, okay, cool. I went to see it, and it sucked. It was so bad. It became like an alien invasion movie, which we didn't really need one. You could have just been like these cool, like almost like Transformer ships or something like that. Like they had transformed into robots, but they could do some cool shit, you know. But
anything with Taylor Kish is a guilty pleasure, right?
Yeah, wasn't Brooklyn Decker?
Texas Forever.
Wasn't Brooklyn Decker in that too?
Yep, she's a. There you go. There's the 5 to 7 minutes.
just go with it. That's another guilty pleasure right there.
That's the one with Adam Sandler, right?
Yes, when you know, yeah. Jennifer Aniston is old and you don't want to...
Not a bad movie, though.
No, it was good. It was good.
Yeah. You know. Roger, what about you? What's your show or cartoon from your childhood that you want to see?
It was He-Man, so I scrambled here, kind of went back into the memory bank. I'm just going to go with Rainbow Bright.
Love that
cartoon, and I'm not even going to explain it. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, just
Rainbow Bright.
Put it out there in the universe. Let it sit for a little while.
If anyone's looking for anyone to write the screenplay, I'm available.
Well, for me, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this. I mean, probably because of Boomerang and such, but it actually probably came out a little bit before I was born in 72, but the Herculoids. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
It sounds familiar, but I can't
picture it. That is the first time I've ever heard that.
It's kind of in the same universe as Space Ghost, And there was another one with these teenager space people on like these like almost like spaceship motorbike things. But the Herculoids basically took place on a planet, and they were like these, they're almost barbarians kind of thing. It was a couple and their son, but then they had these like creatures that now you're going to sound like I've smoked something before this. I'm going to, when I describe the creatures.
You're way past that, buddy.
Okay, good, good. So they had Igu, which was a giant gorilla that was made of rock. There was Tundra, which was like a rhinoceros that could shoot like almost like balls of fire out of his horn. Then there was Zok, who was a giant dragon who could have laser beams coming out of his eyes and his tail. And then there was Gloop and Gleep, who were like these kind of like, they kind of like silly putty kind of thing that came to life, where they could turn themselves into like different shapes and just go, thing. So yeah, I would Google the Herculoids.
Yep. I don't remember the name Herculoids, but when you said Tundra and described them, I'm like, okay, I've seen that. I definitely remember Tundra.
See, when I heard the name of the show, I just thought you were talking about when Hercules did steroids.
Oh, so his entire run. Got it.
Herculoids.
All right, cool. So we're going to actually move on to the rapid fire round now. We're going to, get these guys out of here. Hold on, I'm calling it up. So basically, Jordan remembers this from the first episode. If you visit our Facebook page every day, there's a poll, like I mentioned earlier in the show, where it's a this or that. And that's kind of like, I'm going to hit these guys with these questions, and they're just going to have to give me, what they prefer. And if it's not, just pick one. If it's not something that like you partake in. I know we've had that issue, especially with the ketchup debate earlier today. So if you guys are, without further ado, if you guys are ready to start, you guys ready for a little rapid fire?
Let's do it.
All right.
Here to support big ketchup.
All right. We're going to start with Justin. Justin, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Jordan?
Coke.
Roger?
Coke.
All right. Yes. Coke all around the board.
We love Coke.
Yes. All right. Let's go with Jordan. What's up? Or Dilly Dilly?
I thought you were talking about Dudley Boy spots. I'll go Dilly Dilly.
Roger.
What's up?
Jordan.
Justin.
I mean, sorry, Justin. Sorry. It's too many J's.
It's okay. I like Dilly Dilly. I think they're smarter.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I like that. I like Dilly Dilly. My son's name is Dylan, so it's kind of like a little... little joke, although I don't want my son walking around with Bud Light shirts on, even though he's only 11.
It's not like his Roger's son's name's What's Up! That's why he likes that one.
So. Tough being the only guy who's right out of the four of us.
First time all night, I guess.
All right, Roger, are you a Goobers or Raisinets guy?
Goobers, if I had to choose between those two terrible candies.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yeah, they both suck.
Okay, so
Goobers. You got to pick one.
Goobers, I
guess. Yeah.
I'm going to pick, which one would I empty in the trash first?
Jordan.
I don't even know what a goober, like what's in a goober?
It's just a chocolate covered peanut.
Okay, I'll take that because raisins aren't candy.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
That's nature's candy.
No,
doesn't count. I like raisins. I do not like chocolate covered raisins.
Yeah, very gross.
All right, Justin. Wile E. Coyote. Or the Roadrunner?
I'll take Coyote.
All right. Jordan?
I'll go Wile E. Coyote.
Roger?
Beep, beep.
All right. Yeah, I would probably go Wile E. Coyote.
Roger's wrong again. Okay.
Roger sucks at this.
All right. Jordan?
The name of the show's debate.
Yeah, no, we have to have dissenting opinions here once in a while. Jordan, Neapolitan pizza or Sicilian?
I don't even know. I just eat pepperoni pizza. You got to explain this to me, man.
Papa John's.
Do you like triangles or squares, basically?
Oh, triangles, man. Yeah, there you go.
Roger. I don't know triangles. What pizza. What kind of pizza they have in Detroit? Oh, my God. Justin.
Little Caesars. What if that's all that's up there?
Little Caesars is owned. They own the Tigers and the Red Wings.
I like the square piece, actually.
Yes, Sicilian is the correct answer. Roger, cornhole or beer pong?
Cornhole.
All right, Justin.
Beer die, but since that wasn't an option, beer pong.
All right, Jordan.
I will say, by the way, triangles are good from a pizza chain, but from like a bakery, you got to go with the square. Cornhole for sure. I'm better at it.
What bakeries have pizza? is that a thing over there?
Come to Michigan, man. Come to Michigan.
Bakeries here have pizza.
Yeah, but they do. Usually like the cold with just the sauce. Yeah,
you
get the cold
pizza, then you just got to take it home and throw in the oven.
They have hot pizza here too at bakeries.
Yeah. Yep, mm-hmm. Same here.
Not New York.
You gotta get out of Connecticut. You gotta get out of Connecticut, Andy. Trust me.
I'm from New York. I'm talking about growing up in New York. We don't have bakeries. Had bakery food and pizzeria. That's where you got pizza. They didn't dare serve pizza at a bakery in New York.
We have better hot dogs than New York does too. Here in Detroit, I will say that.
7-Eleven.
Oh man, Lafayette and American Coney Island.
We actually have Coney Island here.
Yeah, but no. I'm telling you, I've had them at both. I bet you guys have not.
No. All right.
We're going to fucking Detroit.
Come visit me. I'll get the guns out. We'll go downtown. We'll go to Lafayette. We'll have some chili dogs.
All right. Justin, Bull Durham or Major League?
Ooh. Major League.
Jordan.
Yeah, Major League.
Roger.
Definitely Major League.
Well, I would go Bull Durham.
But
it might be an age thing, Andy.
Maybe. Maybe. When they both came out, I mean, a review was written that said Bull Durham was a major league movie about a minor league team. Well, Major League was a minor league movie about a major league team.
Sounds fake.
Yeah, and I mean, well, we were, you know. I think we were right at that age where Major League really, you know, every joke hit. They batted 1,000.
Wild Thing made our hearts sing.
Which they shot in Cleveland. No. Did they shoot that in Cleveland or Milwaukee? I forget.
I mean, they were the Indians, right?
That's right.
Probably they were Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Las Vegas.
All right. Jordan, Guns N' Roses or Van Halen?
Gosh. I mean, Van Halen's got the longer. Guns N' Roses is my gut response, though, man.
Roger.
I've seen them both live, actually. Fun fact. And I will go Guns N' Roses.
Were they better live? Or just like the catalog? Or
I would go Guns N' Roses either way. I really like Van Halen, but Guns N' Roses was, I thought they were a little bit better live. I saw both of them when they were, you know, tail end. Like I saw Sammy and David when they toured together.
Oh, cool.
So that was about 15 years ago, but they were still, I mean, you know, not young, and then I just saw Guns N' Roses like last year. So,
oh. Justin, what do you say?
Guns N' Roses. If I never jump again in my life, I'll be fine.
How about crisscross jump?
That I could take.
Okay.
All right. Roger, Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy?
Jeopardy, big time. I love Jeopardy.
Yes, Justin.
Jeopardy, give me the smart man's game.
Except for when they ask questions about football. I don't know if you guys have seen that clip where they all got stumped and even Alex was like, oh my God, I will. Jordan.
I did see it.
I go Jeopardy, which you can actually watch some episodes of Jeopardy on Netflix now.
Can.
It's amazing that game shows are on streaming services.
Right. I remember when Game Show Network started. It was like the most amazing thing ever.
Oh, that was the best. And now they have all their original games that are just terrible.
Yeah.
And Alfonso Ribeiro hosts 80% of them.
and that's the only positive, Jordan. That's the only positive right there.
Well, and they used to, when they did the reruns too, they would do it, like they scheduled it, right? It wasn't like Jeopardy at 7:30. You know, like they would actually show stuff at certain times. But they also had like Press Your Luck. Like they showed the old ones and stuff. It was cool.
Yeah,
I loved Press Your Luck.
Yeah, great show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, last one. Justin, Monica, Rachel, or Phoebe?
I think at the time was Monica. I didn't really watch Friends for that long. I watched like 2 or 3 seasons, but probably Rachel, I guess.
All right, Jordan.
The correct answer is Rachel.
Yes, Roger.
Not Phoebe, I know that.
Rachel, not close.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would take Phoebe No offense to Lisa Kudrow, but, you know, she wasn't, you know, she was just too kooky at times for me on the show.
All right, sometimes, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of that, though. Are we doing the MFK here, or just...
No. You want to do a quick round of MMK?
No, I don't. That was
just a joke. You can do like we did for New Year's Eve in the No Holds Barred special. We did the whole cast.
Chandler, Joey, and Ross.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, all right. That's
Ross
that's
gonna... is dead. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, he's on Will and Grace. So
he was great in Curb, and that was like the highlight of his that and his fucking what's his name Kardashian and the OJ thing.
Yeah, he was really good at that.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was Robert Kardashian.
Both of those blows away anything he did on Friends.
Schwimmer, come back to the Schwimmerverse. All right, that's going to bring a close to the Great Debate number two. Awesome guys. So let's go around see if you got anything to plug. Roger, this week in the NFL, we're in the playoffs. You guys still cranking out shows? You and Mr. D'Amato.
Yes, sir. We'll be putting another one up this week. They're short and sweet, and we tend to get everything right, so you should listen.
Cool. Jordan, you just come on when you're coming on?
Yeah, and even when I'm supposed to. I usually show up an hour late. So.
Well, I appreciate you for joining us, lady.
So I will do a plug that Steve Willey's pretty excited about. This coming episode of Main Event has a very special first-time-ever guest in a pre-recorded segment that I think people will get a real kick out of. Oh. It's not me.
Well, thank God.
I know. Justin.
You're not allowed. You're banned from Main Event. I think I plugged pretty much everything, but I don't know when this is dropping, but
try to get it up this week. Podcast.
Yeah, new Place to Be podcast coming this week. We're going to wrap 88, I believe. We got the December 88 MSG. I'll plug No Holds Barred one last time because I thought it was the last two episodes I thought were me and Aaron's best stuff. So yep. Check those out, our Festivus and New Year's Eve episodes. And Wrestling Warzone return after a 2-month hiatus, looking at the night after Survivor Series, Raw and Nitro that week of 11/20/95. So check all that out. And of course, as always, go back and check out Jeff Learns Wrestling. It's a prestige show, it's not happening that often. But just listen to the ones that are there because I think they're wonderful. If you want to hear about Jess' sexual escapades in our last episode, feel free.
Yes, it got me through a long train ride from the New York office one night listening to a little Jeff Loves Wrestling. So,
oh, and of course, also the Christmas special, as always, Christmas Spectacular, Place to Be podcast. This one was a lot of fun this year, so check it out.
So, Andy, did you listen to Jeff Lawrence Wrestling after Striptease ended on that trip?
No, he was asked to leave the train after he got caught watching it.
Yeah, I guess I should put the kibosh on that live watch. Anyway. So, for me, what I got going on, next week there's a special show coming with myself, my co-host on Urine Pop, Scott Criscolo, the aforementioned Steve Willey, and Tim Capel. We're going to be looking back at some of the famous people who have passed away this past year in 2018, so look for that coming next week on the Pop Feed. After that, at the end of the month, I'll get together with the crew for Urine Pop. We're going to do 1973. With Scott Criscolo, George Robolino, Dr. G, and J.R. Cineo D'Amato. And then after that, it's, you know, hopefully another Looking Forward, Looking Back, and so on and so forth. So I want to thank you all, you guys, for coming tonight. I want to thank Justin Rosero, Jordan Duncan, and the cowboy, Roger Morissette. I'm Andy Atherton. Thank you for joining us here on The Great Debate number 2, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay. Oh, God.